With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources reminds drivers to stay alert as they travel Iowa's roadsides over the coming weeks. Autumn deer behavior, crop harvest, and peak travel times for motorists combine to hike the risk of vehicle-deer collisions in Iowa. From now until the third week of November, Iowa bucks become more active in the pursuit of does during the breeding season. Motorists may be distracted by the first deer that crosses, not seeing the pursuing buck. This adds to multiple scenarios of fast-moving, unpredictable deer crossing highways. The crop harvest is also in full swing, concentrating a deer in a remaining cover that is often brushy creeks, trees, or fence lines, which often intersect with roads. A third factor will be the change away from daylight savings time on November 7th, placing more Iowans behind the wheel during the deer-heavy dawn and dusk periods. A few ways to give drivers an edge during this period are to reduce speed, increase following distance from other cars, and to sweep eye movements from ditch to ditch, especially during those low-light periods and when approaching those brushy or tree-lined funnels near roads. Drivers are also encouraged not to veer for deer, leaving the lane of traffic could cause a collision with another vehicle or a roadside obstacle, such as a utility pole or culvert. Franklin County Sheriff's Department is investigating a single vehicle accident which took place Sunday morning at 948 Highway 65 in rural Geneva. A vehicle was heading westbound on 105th Street and crossed Highway 65 at a high rate of speed, failing to stop. The vehicle destroyed a T-intersection sign that was in the road ditch, then continued into the yard of the residence and went completely through the garage, then through the yard before leaving again on Highway 65. The accident left several $1,000s of damage to the garage and items stored inside and behind it. The vehicle and driver have not been identified as the investigation continues. The Butler County Sheriff's Department yesterday afternoon arrested 28-year-old Haley Ellsworth of Maxwell for assault causing bodily injury. Ellsworth was allegedly involved in an incident that took place at a resident in Ardale Saturday morning. Ellsworth was later released. Yesterday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department served a warrant to 33-year-old Jeremy Bridges of Eldora for violation of his parole. Bridges has been held at the Hardin County Jail since October 4, 2021, after he was arrested by the Hampton Police Department on a South Dakota warrant for a parole violation and for violation of a no-contact order. A 64-year-old Eagle Grove man recently pled guilty in U.S. federal court at Sioux City for possession with the intent to distribute methamphetamine. Celestian Luke admitted that on November 10, 2020, law enforcement conducted a traffic stop of Luke's after receiving a report of a vehicle theft. Officers seized seven bags from Luke's person totaling 14.39 grams of meth. Evidence further showed that from December 2019 through February 2020, during three controlled drug buy operations with law enforcement, he sold a total of 51.54 grams of methamphetamine. Luke's remains in custody of the U.S. Marshal pending his sentencing. He faces a mandatory minimum sentence of 5 years in federal prison. The Franklin County Board of Supervisors this week reviewed a request for a tax abatement from the City of Latimer for a property located at 121 South Acre Street in Latimer. The board then approved the request as presented. In other business, the Franklin supervisors approved the disbursement of funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. Some of the projects that have been approved for the use of the funds include the replacement of the courthouse chiller not to exceed $160,000 and the purchase of a pandemic health incident response trailer and portable radios by the Franklin County EMA and public health not to exceed $150,000. The Barlow Foundation Community Challenge 2021 continues until October 26th. The Barlow Family Foundation offering the ninth year of the Community Challenge, which is a two-week fundraising event wherein selected nonprofit organizations are awarded matching funds for any fundraising efforts they undertake up to a predetermined project goal. Pamela Barlow Angstman, Foundation Chair, tells Radio On The Go News the rules on giving during the challenge.
Minimum is $25, the max is $100 a person. We have set that up so that we hopefully help our organizations expand their base so that when they do further fundraisers, they have a much larger base to draw from. So that seems to work. It gets more people involved.
Six organizations applied to be in the challenge this year, and all six were accepted, including the Edgewood Board.
Edgewood Place, it's a historic building in Iowa Falls and are wanting to do some remodeling inside. And the Ellsworth College Foundation is trying to start a museum. They have never had one, and they have a lot of really good historical memorabilia that they need a place for. And then the Iowa Falls High School has three. One is the Cadet Kitchen. They are fundraising for a food truck. And then there's an esports group that has started last year, and then the vocal music department is wanting funds to do soundboards and risers. And then the last one is the Ladies Social Gathering, which is a group that oversees the Union Cemetery in Iowa Falls, which is the historic cemetery in town, and they did a lot of work on some of the monuments.
For more information, go to barlowfamilyfoundation.org. That's barlowfamilyfoundation.org. This week, the Alden City Council approved the placement of the proposed story walk in the city, with three cases on poles at the public library, two at City Hall, two at West Side, three at the Alden Dam, and 10 at the Alden Park. In other business, the Alden Council approved CNS Internet service to install three antennas on the city's water tower for a monthly lease payment, and approved a resolution that will reduce the sewer revenue bond interest rate by 1.25% from 3 to 1.75. Monday night, the Hampton-Dumont School Board approved the hiring of Grunmeyer Leader Search Services to conduct the search for a new superintendent. In other business, the HD Board approved to increase the district's cyber insurance coverage from $100,000 to $1 million. The Hampton-Dumont School Board discussed how to move forward with looking at facility upgrades for athletics and activities and determining the district needs versus desires. It was determined that nothing could be considered until after the Southside Elementary School HVAC project is completed. And Superintendent Todd Leto reported on the certified enrollment numbers, as Hampton-Dumont lost about 12 students from the same time period from 1 year ago, while the Cal School District increased by 19 students. Iowa Falls Area Development Corporation, Iowa Works, the Iowa Falls Chamber of Commerce, and Iowa Valley Continuing Education are teaming up to address the hiring shortage. The Iowa Falls Career Fair will be held on Thursday, November 4th from 10 a.m. to noon at the Dale Howard Activity Center that's located on the Ellsworth Community College campus. Businesses are able to have a table at the Career Fair at no cost. Interested companies should call 641-844-5780. Again, 641-844-5780 to reserve a table. Job applicants should come prepared to discuss job opportunities with local business leaders. Job seekers should bring a copy of their resume to this event. And today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program is Marcy Rasak, the radiology supervisor with the Iowa Specialty Hospital in Clarion, who will talk about the warning signs of breast cancer. October is recognized as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays over the noon hour on KLMJ, following the news, weather, and obituaries, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.